Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, what is going on with Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin? We have the instant and unique analysis here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Quite a lot. Truth is, I know millions of people, in fact, that over 100 million people that are struggling with some kind of pain, whether it knee pain, back pain, joint pain, and exercise or getting older or whatever it might be. I'm so impressed with the team at Relief Factor. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of commitment. So go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. About a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain. And then after that, less than a cost of a cup of coffee a day. Relief Factor is terrific. It's 100% drug-free. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. So I got up very early this morning, and I tried to see what the world was outraged about. I try not to do that on Twitter. I try to go through the normal places of, let's say, high IQ outrage. Went to the New York Times, Washington Post, amongst many other sites. And it seems that the number one news story that everyone's talking about right now, and I think it's an important story to dive into for a variety of different reasons, was this meeting between Vladimir Putin and Joe Biden. This happened earlier this morning. Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin met on Wednesday, kicking off their long-anticipated meeting in Geneva, Switzerland. So before I go any further, I was thinking, as soon as I saw the story, wait, hold on a second. I thought meeting with the Russian president is treason. You see, I'm old enough to remember when our president, President Trump, met with Vladimir Putin 3 years ago. 3 years ago in July of 2018, and it was the number one news story for weeks. This turned into political attack ads. This turned into a nonstop, relentless propaganda campaign by our own media. Do you remember this? You remember when Donald Trump met in Helsinki, Finland? When he met with Vladimir Putin right after the World Cup in 2018, which was, I believe, held in Russia, if I'm not mistaken. This was during the baseless and fraudulent Bob Mueller investigation. And Donald Trump sat down with Vladimir Putin and discussed a variety of different things. They did a joint press conference, and the reaction was stunning. And we're going to get into that reaction. And Joe Biden just met with Vladimir Putin. And someone asked Joe Biden, do you trust Vladimir Putin or do you consider him to be a friend? And Joe Biden gave a nod. It's just a subtle nod. Oh, yeah, I do. In fact, the activist press is very confused as to why the man who ran against Russia and why the man who seems to be so anti-Russian Federation all of a sudden is now meeting with Vladimir Putin for over 5 hours. That's right. 5 hours they just met with in Geneva, Switzerland. Now, I kid you not, this is an actual news story that was just published. This morning, in anticipation to this summit, ABC News decides to produce some cover fire. Now, in the military, cover fire is you fire off some rounds so that you can change your positions, you can maneuver to a different area. You're not actually trying to kill anyone or you're not trying to do anything. You're just trying to basically produce a distraction or tracer rounds so that you can get the opposition, the enemy combatants, to focus on you so you could change your own configuration. The day that Joe Biden goes to go meet with Vladimir Putin. What's on the front page of ABC News? Still a summit secret. What happened in Helsinki between Putin and Trump? Not covering Joe Biden, not covering the current administration. No. Instead, it's a 2,000-word piece on the front page of ABC News. What happened in Helsinki between Putin and Trump? It says, from 2017 to 2019, amid special counsel's Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian efforts to influence the 2016 election, Democrats raised questions about Trump's conversations with Putin, especially after Trump said in Helsinki, standing next to Putin, that he believed his 2017 denial of election interference. And it says here that in the ABC, it's still a clouded mystery what they talked about. He had told reporters beforehand that his private discussions with Putin were none of your business. So instead of actually covering what just happened in Geneva, Switzerland, which is actually very interesting and very telling, the activist press literally just published a story about a former president who's now golfing in Bedminster, New Jersey, not the current president or the current secretary of state. CNN must have got the memo from the – I am more and more convinced, by the way, that there is some sort of a group text message, that there is a email where they all decide to go after the same thing at the same time. There is no way that this was not orchestrated. So what's on the front page of CNN today? Don't ever forget what happened at the Donald Trump-Vladimir Putin summit. So as Joe Biden goes into this summit, what is the press most worried about? Producing cover fire, helping out their guy, doing the bidding of the party. Now, this sort of behavior would be understandable if it was a state-run news agency. What CNN and ABC is doing would be par for the course for Russian television. It would be par for the course for Al Jazeera. It would be par for the course for Al Arabiya, whatever the Saudi Arabian one is. For state-run news agencies or China Daily, I think that's one of them, this is what they do. There's a news story. We distract. We try to take your eyes off of it. CNN, don't ever forget what Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin did. They had a joint press conference, everybody, and a secret meeting. Well, what happened today? Well, Joe Biden had a press conference and a somewhat private meeting with Vladimir Putin and his foreign secretary or his foreign minister or whatever. Now, how did the activist press back in 2018 react to this? The very same thing that Joe Biden had did today. How did they react? Well, let's go back in the Wayback Machine because most people are not going to tell you this. How about Anderson Cooper, Cut 48? This is how he reacted when Donald Trump dared do a press conference with Vladimir Putin, Cut 48.
You have been watching perhaps one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president at a summit in front of a Russian leader, certainly that I've ever seen.
That he's in charge of the federal government. He's in charge of these intelligence agencies. It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. How dare you do a press conference with Vladimir Putin? How about Cut 49, where it says Jake Tapper sided with the enemy? Cut 49.
Russia launched cyber attacks against the United States to interfere in the election. They did that to the people of the United States. And today, President Trump sided with Russia over not just the intelligence agencies of the United States, but also the people of the United States.
How dare you do such a press conference? You're a traitor. So if you do a press conference with Vladimir Putin, you're a traitor. What did Don Lemon have to say about this? Cut 50 back in 2018.
And what we all saw and heard in Helsinki today is really frightening. An absolutely shameful display by an American president with the whole world. President Trump caving to Vladimir Putin, refusing to side with his own country, against an attack by a foreign foe.
So those are 3 points of tape right there. And so it really starts to ask and beg the question, what's really going on here? What's going on here is that the Democrats and the media, they actually don't hate Russia as much as they've told you that they hate Russia. They thought Russia was a perfect foil for the time being to try and distract the Republican Party and Donald Trump from governing the country. And so today, Joe Biden did, quote, he walked back, the White House tries to walk back this nod indicating he can trust Vladimir Putin. He was asked a question. They said, do you trust Vladimir Putin? And Biden nodded his head. Yes, he does trust Putin. Biden then laughed when this person part of the pool rolled his eyes and shrugged at the chaos of the media scrum. And then you know what happened? I want you to imagine how the media would react to this. All of these Russian agents then tried to clear out the room and attacked American press in what's called a scrum. And Joe Biden laughed while it happened. How do you think CNN would act if Donald Trump was laughing and chuckling if KGB agents were trying to clear the room of the CNN reporters? How do you think that one would be covered? I know a lot of you are traveling this summer, and I want to tell you, whether it's for work or for play, a lot of us are going to be on the move this summer. So my advice to you, take your Raycons with you. Whether you're on a Amtrak train or you're hiking, a pair of Raycon wireless buds in your ear can make a difference. You get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycons look great and feel even better. They come in a range of cool colors and with the customizable gel tips included for a comfortable in-ear fit. And Raycons are built to go wherever you go with quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and compact charging case. Listen up, Raycon's offering 15% off their products for my listeners, and here's what you got to do. Go to buyraycon.com/Kirk. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/Kirk. buyraycon.com/Kirk. Every single one of these outlets is in a full court press propaganda campaign to try to distract from the actual meeting of Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin. And let me just say for the record, I'm all for meeting with Vladimir Putin. I'm not one of these neoconservatives that think that we should go declare war in every sovereign country on the planet. I think Russia does some things that gangsters do, but I don't think that, I think they pale in comparison to the threat of the Chinese Communist Party. However, I also don't like hypocrisy, double standards, and definitely don't like having to distract our entire country like we did under Donald Trump for 4 years to worry about a threat that was not actually a threat. Oh, Russia impacted the election. You know what the final report showed? That Russia had a couple memes and bots and trolls. Was it because of Russia that Hillary Clinton didn't visit Michigan? Was it because of Russia that Hillary Clinton didn't visit Pennsylvania? Well, speaking of Hillary Clinton, the front page of NBC News, Hillary Clinton did an interview that said Hillary Clinton says Biden must clean up the disaster Trump cleaned up, started with Putin, created with Putin. The former Secretary of State also warned Americans are doing Putin's work in the United States to sow trust and divisiveness. So every major activist outlet right now is not covering what actually just happened in Geneva. Instead, it's acting that the main threat is the guy who is golfing and eating meatloaf in Bedminster, New Jersey. Yamichi Elsendore, who works for PBS, not my favorite reporter. She actually had a very good tweet. She said, a reporter asked President Biden, do you trust Putin? Do you trust each other? President Biden looked directly at the reporter and nodded affirmatively. So what's really going on here? Is it that Joe Biden is a fan of the Russian Federation? I think Joe Biden is actually more nervous than anything else. I think Joe Biden knows that Vladimir Putin and the KGB, they have some leverage over the Biden family. A lot more than any of the accusations that were ever thrown towards Donald Trump and the Russian Federation. We know that Hunter Biden received a wire with no explanation whatsoever from the former Moscow mayor's wife. A significant wire, actually, and we'll get the information on that. What was that for? Why is it that Joe Biden was part of a nonstop scheme, and this was a scheme, to have us care about the Russian Federation, keep our eyes off China for years? Yes, Hunter Biden received a $3.5 million wire from the former Moscow mayor's wife. Why? And so now it's time for to do what the Democrats did to us for 4 years. What was said in this meeting? Can we have a transcript? Was it a perfect meeting? Was U.S. national security discussed? Was Syria discussed? Was Bashar al-Assad discussed? Was Ukraine discussed? Was Crimea discussed? Was the funding or the financing of American troops in Russian zones discussed? How about Russian diplomats? Will they be expelled? You see, we were distracted over this because we almost always play on the media's terms. And Donald Trump tried to do something about that by having the summit in Helsinki with Vladimir Putin to try to calm down the tensions and calm down the over hyper-aggression between our own apparatus towards Russia. But it seems as if Joe Biden's perfectly cool with Vladimir Putin. Or maybe he's worried that Vladimir Putin has something on him. You see, that's the game they played against us for years. Oh, Vladimir Putin has dirt on Donald Trump. None of that actually materialized. We know just from one very public point of information, a $3.5 million wire from the Moscow mayor's wife to Hunter Biden. What was that for? What were the services rendered for that? Was Hunter Biden commissioned to go paint a bunch of paintings for the Moscow Museum of Art? Was Hunter Biden commissioned to go read poetry of Dostoevsky and Alexander Solzhenitsyn? Probably not. More likely, this was a good old post-Soviet era thug gangster payoff. Was Vladimir Putin smirking throughout this meeting because he knows he's got the goods on this administration? So you see, these are questions that we had to endure relentlessly for a couple years. But we actually have some evidence on this. Why did Joe Biden nod affirmatively saying that he trusted Vladimir Putin? What is he willing to give away? Is Joe Biden doing the bidding of Vladimir Putin? Do we need that to now have a new Mueller-style investigation to look into this? What about all the connections that Joe Biden might have of people in his administration or people that have donated that might have done lobbying for the Russian Federation? You see how this sort of narrative can all of a sudden derail you from American foreign policy? They distracted us intentionally on a scheme to try to destroy our country, and I'm fortunate to say that they won on that. Did you ever read the fine print that appears when you start browsing in incognito mode? It says that your activity might still be visible to your employer, your school, or your internet service provider. How can they even call it incognito? To really stop these people from seeing the sites you visit, you need to do what I do and use ExpressVPN. Think about all the times you've used the Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, a hotel, or even at your parents' home. Without ExpressVPN, every single site you visit could be logged by the admin of that network. And that's still true when you're in incognito mode. What's more is your home internet provider, I'm talking about Comcast, AT&T, or whatever, can also see and record your browsing data. ExpressVPN is an application, it's an app, that encrypts all of your network data and reroutes it through a network of secure servers so your private online activity says just that, private. ExpressVPN works on all of your devices and it's super easy to use. So stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Charlie. Use my link at expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie to learn more. Remember when Trump met with Putin? Well, Bob Casey from Pennsylvania said, quote, Trump has shamed the office of the presidency with his dangerous and reckless press conference with Putin, a new and low profound embarrassment to America. Senator John McCain called it one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president in memory. In addition, Paul Ryan said that he rejected the idea of a moral equivalence between the U.S. and the Russian Federation. Well, that's what Joe Biden did today. He said, we're both two great competitors. What's the word he used? It was either adversaries or we're two great powers, is what Joe Biden said. Not even competitors. We're two great powers. Mitch McConnell, back when Donald Trump did his press conference, said, quote, as I've said repeatedly, the Russians are not our friends, and I entirely agree with the assessment of our intelligence community. Well, I think we know now, 3 years later, that our intelligence community is anything but honest and full of integrity. It's the exact opposite. Our intelligence community is unfortunately rigged against the American people for the benefit of the American ruling class. That's not to say that everything they've ever done is wrong, but the entire security state apparatus has this disturbing pattern to intervene where it is not welcome and to rig the interests against the American people. So Joe Biden sitting down with Vladimir Putin, what is the real takeaway here? Well, first of all, this entire trip to Europe has been very bizarre. Joe Biden has been confusing countries with one another. And let's just kind of go through some of the clips here. And we've been talking about the G7. We talked about what happened in Europe. We talked about all of this. And we called this globalism on defense because despite the apparent trend that the world is becoming more borderless, there are more countries being formed, more right to self-determination, more sovereignty movements than ever before. And so let's go to cut one. Joe Biden kept on saying Libya when he meant Syria. They're only a couple thousand miles away in the slow, rambling speech at the G7. Cut one.
Where we could work together with Russia, for example, in Libya. We should be opening up the and, for example, the rebuilding of Syria, of Libya, of, you know, this is, they're there. That we can find an accommodation that where we can save the lives of people in, for example, in Libya,
Now, in Joe Biden's defense, when he was vice president for Barack Obama, he both messed up Libya and Syria. So in his defense, he actually was responsible for two sovereign nations going into complete and total bedlam and civil war. And both of them were Libya and Syria. You might remember in Libya, Joe Biden, alongside Barack Obama, were responsible for not only overseeing the Benghazi terror attack and doing nothing in response to that on September 11th, 2012, if my memory serves me correctly. It was actually on the actual anniversary of September 11th, 10 years afterwards. But it was just an internet video, remember? Just an internet video, and if you dare question it, you're Islamophobic. Actually, now that I think about it, the entire Islamophobic playbook is actually what they're now using on the BLM Incorporated stuff. They tried that out for the first 10 years, and they figured out what can work, what speech they can censor, how they can virtue signal. Total side note, interesting for those of us that grew up in the time when you were not allowed to even criticize radical Islamofascism. But then in Libya, what ended up happening was the displacement of Muammar Gaddafi. Okay, Muammar Gaddafi, bad guy. But then what are you going to replace it with? You think that all of a sudden they're going to have this Thomas Jefferson of Libya that's going to fill the void? Interestingly enough, the city of Tripoli is actually where, if my memory serves me correctly, Thomas Jefferson mobilized the American Navy to go fight in the Barbary Coast Wars against the Barbary Coast Pirates. Fun side note of the anti-federalist Thomas Jefferson actually acting more like a federalist. In Syria, you might remember back in the Arab Spring. Do you remember the Arab Spring? I think that was in January or February of 2010. We can get a fact check on that. It's either January, February of 2009 or 2009. I think it's 2010. Now, for those of you that don't remember the Arab Spring, this allegedly started because of a guy that lit himself on fire that was like a fruit market vendor in Tunisia. And it started these massive protests all across the Middle East. And these protests, because of Twitter, we were told, all of a sudden then translated in a variety of different upheavals all across the Middle East. But guess what? Almost nothing changed, except there's more suffering, chaos, famine, and strife. It was December 2010. My memory does serve me correctly. It's right around that time. Of course, the one in Egypt resulted in the removal of Mubarak. I've heard that name in a while. And then al-Sisi replaced in Egypt. But in Syria, as you might remember, the Russian agent, Bashar al-Assad, he was one of the few guys to actually be able to survive the mass movement of the Arab Spring. Well, who is Bashar al-Assad, and where are his private leanings? Well, of course, Bashar al-Assad, because of a certain pipeline that goes from Syria into Russia, is very, very close to Vladimir Putin. So, to give Joe Biden a little bit of grace, he destroyed both those countries, Libya and Syria. You see, during the Arab Spring, the Obama administration totally fumbled and mishandled Syria. And do you want to know why Europe is experiencing massive demographic displacement? Do you want to know why Europe is experiencing the influx of Islam and Muslims like they've never seen before? Largely because of the Syrian civil war. That was one of the largest and most significant displacements of a people of the last 30 years, is what happened in Syria, and then the total unfettered migration of the people from Syria to Europe. So Joe Biden confusing Libya and Syria. For those of us that know geopolitics, we know, actually, Joe Biden, every single theater of the Middle East that you were responsible for was bloodier, was hotter, and was worse after you touched it. There was not one part of the world that Joe Biden has ever overseen that became peaceful after he got in charge of it. Nowhere. Joe Biden also ended a news conference, cut four, where he said, look, I need some time in regards to Trump-era trade sanctions, cut four.
when you're having these conversations with European allies who are very concerned about these sanctions, how do you justify that? And what are your plans?
120 days. Give me a break. Need time.
Remember when he said, I'm going to build back better? We're going to hit the ground running. By the way, the way he said that was really bizarre, but he just like kind of, and by the way, he's been president for 148 days. Okay. That was kind of a Jack Nicklaus thing, by the way. He went into kind of the microphone. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of like a Shining type thing. Can we play that tape again? It's kind of like really weird. Play that again.
When you're having these conversations with European allies who are very concerned about these sanctions, how do you justify that? And what are your plans?
120 days. Give me a break. Need time.
Here's Johnny. Like, that's kind of what I feel like when Joe Biden kind of was this kind of a strange, unpredictable, you never exactly know where he's going to go. Producer Andrew says he sounds like Bane from Batman. No, no, no. I'm going with The Shining, okay? Wendy, I'm home. All right, enough of that. So then how about this one where the world leaders erupt in laughter as Biden forgets that the United Kingdom Prime Minister Boris Johnson already introduced the president of South Africa during the G7 meeting. Now, in defense of Joe Biden, if Joe Biden was not president, he would be probably assistant dog catcher of some sort of kind of association of people in the villages or in Boca Raton. So forgetting that you introduced people, we shouldn't make fun of them. Of course not, because Joe Biden is doing everything perfectly. Cut three.
President Ramaphosa, President Moon, he just did it.
And the President of South Africa.
And the President of South Africa, as I said earlier.
I you get mentioned twice, so
I'll go over again.
Our allies literally laughing at us in front of Joe Biden. But I don't think he quite even understands or has any sort of awareness around that. And then how about this one? When a reporter asks some questions, by the way, we're doing just the kind of the quick recap of all of this. And we're going to get back to this Vladimir Putin thing because it's incredibly important. This Vladimir Putin thing kind of goes to show the absolute fraud of the outrage industry that is the activist press. And anytime they ever try to make us be angry or upset about something, we should say thanks. Thanks very much. We're not doing that. Thanks very little, we should say. We had our entire national security conversation around a lie. That Donald Trump was compromised by the Russian Federation. And then Joe Biden does the exact same thing that warranted an outrage from John McCain, where he said, what did John McCain say? I have the quote around here somewhere. Something foolish. One of the most disgraceful performances by an American president in memory. And again, I'm not against de-escalation. I actually am in favor of speaking to Vladimir Putin. I'm in favor. I hope our leaders try to seek dialogue over Tomahawk missiles. Lindsey Graham, by the way, is just losing his mind over this entire thing. Lindsey Graham right now is asking himself, why didn't we send the aircraft carrier over there and launch some? I don't understand. Why are we talking to the opposition? Okay, I don't like that. I am, for one, think that we should always try to have some form of a mission towards de-escalation, especially when we have our true enemy, the Chinese Communist Party, that is flying planes over Taiwan. And if you actually go deep into Chinese news, and I'm going to get into this in the next segment, I'm going to call it here. We only do these predictions every so often, and they tend to sometimes, unfortunately, be true. There will be a conflict of China and Taiwan in the next 90 days. There's something that's going to happen. Now, Taiwan is its own sovereign nation. It's its own island. China gets really upset about this because the Chinese agent himself, John Cena, dared even mention Taiwan, and you're not allowed to do that. That's where our focus should be. In fact, I have a story here from one of the Chinese kind of dissident papers here. Let me see what this one is here. China flies 28 military aircraft over Taiwan airspace. This should be a fire alarm for any person that understands what this means. That's the true enemy. By the way, Taiwan is not equipped to be able to protect themselves. That's going to be a test to Joe Biden. Will Joe Biden mobilize the United States aircraft carrier to defend Taiwan against the aggression of the Chinese Communist Party? I don't know. But as we kind of do the Joe Biden G7 recap, what is the theme here? The theme is that America is not leading. We know that. America is obviously weak. We know that. Joe Biden is confused. But here's the real problem. Here's the real issue. Is that Joe Biden is compromised. Is that he's not making decisions based on what's best for the nation. He's making decisions based on what could possibly protect his family and his family interests from embarrassment or revelation. Look, can I tell you something that really bothers me? When good people get scheduled for cancellation for no reason. That's what's happening to Mike Lindell. I was just with Mike Lindell with 15,000 of my closest friends in Wisconsin. And Mike Lindell was hosting an entire event, and the media went after him like you wouldn't believe, and they're trying to take my pillow out of every single store. Mike Lindell is a good person. And if you need pillows, maybe you're moving in for college, or maybe you want to build a pillow palace, go to MyPillow.com and always use the promo code Kirk. Remember, they won't go flat. You can wash and dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the United States. For a limited time, Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98, regularly $69.98. So if you love America and you want to support the good guys, go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. You also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including Giza, Dream Sheets, and MyPillow Mattress Topper. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. If you love America and you want to support the guys that are trying to do everything they can to save it, go to MyPillow.com, buy a bunch of stuff, promo code Kirk. Who killed Ashley Babbitt? Who killed Ashley Babbitt? Are we allowed to ask that question? On January 6th, we know what happened. Or do we? I think we have a general idea of what happened. I think we know what the media has told us what has happened. I think it's fair to say that some people acted improperly. I think Chewbacca Man probably regrets storming the rotunda. I think the guy from MASH with his own little zip ties, the JV squad, regrets that. There are still, by the way, dozens of these people on trespassing charges that are still in solitary confinement, not allowed out on bail. Meanwhile, first-degree murderers in Chicago are allowed on bail. So if you go into the Congress, which I'm not defending, okay, I think there is plenty of a lack of wisdom for plenty of the people there, that, and you take a selfie inside the Capitol Rotunda, you're going to jail, no bail, you will never see the light of sun again for at least 6 years, 10 years, maybe a decade of your life. And so Ashley Babbitt was part of that group of people that were in the Capitol. The video of Ashley Babbitt, we're not going to show it here because they always yank the feed down. It has all these things. But the video is this woman went in and with very little to any warning, looks like she elevated on a chair and then bang, shot nearly in the head, it almost looked like. And after some investigation, it shows that the person who killed Ashley Babbitt is not going to be pressed for charges. And yet, if you want to burn down a city for social justice, you walk free. What about all the Antifa riots? What about the BLM Incorporated riots? What about when they burned down business after business in downtown Chicago? They all got out on bail. Listen to Ashley Babbitt's husband plead on Tucker Carlson saying, I would like to know who killed my wife. Play tape.
How do you feel about seeing her characterized the way that you have? How do you feel about the total lack of interest in her death?
It sickens me to hear what people say about Ashley. There's never been a person that Ashley ran across in her daily life that didn't love her and wouldn't remember her in some way, shape, or form for the rest of her life. But this is the game. This is the social media craziness that, you know, people just run with a theory and just take off with it.
And the Department of Justice on April 14th said they are closing the case into the investigation of Ashley Babbitt. Hear that? Nothing to see here. She didn't have a weapon on her. She did not have a firearm. She was in the Capitol and she got killed. Is that now the new stance of our government that you get the death penalty for a trespassing charge? Do you think that the activist media would care if Ashley Babbitt was black? Do you think that the activist media would care if Ashley Babbitt was a Democrat BLM incorporated black activist shot by a police officer? Do you think that if during the summer of rage, when they were trying to get into the White House, when they were trying, literally, and over 50 Secret Service agents were injured and several hospitalized. Do you think that if one of the BLM Incorporated activists was shot, do you think we would know that person's name? Do you think we would know who did that? It all ties together. We started with Joe Biden around the world and the G7 and Vladimir Putin. You see, we attack Vladimir Putin and the Russian Federation for good reason, for imprisoning political dissidents and for shooting and for killing people that disagree. Isn't that what happened to Ashley Babbitt? Isn't that what happened right now to the people that went into the Capitol? Not defending it, but they're still in prison. Joe Biden is being protected by the activist press for doing the same thing that Donald Trump did, being protected. For Donald Trump, they launched a 3-year investigation and bitterly divided our country, found nothing, and kept the narrative going, and they're still writing about it. And Joe Biden gets heralded on the front page of Time magazine as the defender of Western democracy. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.